Welcome to Truth Culture Life. I'm your host, Royce Hood, and I'm here by my illustrious co-host, Father. Oh, I can't even talk this morning. What's your name again? I don't even remember.
I don't even know anymore.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Everybody knows who Father Orsi is. And I don't know if he wants me to spill the beans. There's like HIPAA laws and whatnot, but he's got some sciatic pain. So we need to storm heaven and ask for some relief for our dear Father Orsi.
Yeah, please. This is murder. But, you know, if Sister Wilhelmina wants to go further into the great saints in heaven, Sister Wilhelmina, I beg your pardon. Sister Wilhelmina, Sister Wilhelmina, please do something for me.
There's probably, if you just said a little prayer and asked for the intercession of Sister Wilhelmina, you'd probably get some response as well, because I'm sure there's a few of those out there.
Yeah, but who do we attribute it to then?
You know? I don't know.
Well, yeah, we need this cause. Saint Wilhelmina has already made it.
That's true.
I mean, Sister Wilhelmina, I mean, she needs some miracles to get her to a canonization.
That's right. We need two miracles, and the official investigation, my understanding, is can start in about 1 year from now.
Yeah, you know, it starts off, you know, did she live a life of heroic virtue? And, you know, from what I've read, she did.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been on this thing for, you know, about a month now, I guess. And from what you've told me, it sounds like she led an extraordinary holy life.
This woman was unbelievable. Honestly, I mean, she knew from the time she was a little girl sitting in the very last row of the pews at her little German Catholic church in St. Louis that she wanted to devote her life to the church. And she actually, when she was 7 or 8 years old, wrote to a mother superior of some local order of sisters and said, "Hey, I really want to come join. I'm ready." And I think it was right after her confirmation. And the mother wrote her back. He's like, "Hey, you need to wait a few more years, but come talk to us."
So a young girl.
Young girl. She knew. She knew she wanted to be a bride of Christ, right?
And she entered the Benedictines, correct? The Benedictines?
I'm going to reveal all this soon. We're going to go into detail. She started off, and over time, her order started changing, as did the rest of the church. And so she felt called to go back to the roots and to go back to tradition. And her order of the Benedictines of Mary, Queen of the Apostles, was started when she was 71 years old. She actually founded this thing at 71 years old. And the rest is history. It's just amazing. They have two houses now in Missouri. They actually started in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and then were invited by Bishop Flynn to Missouri and went there. And it's just unbelievable. I'm working on a behind the scenes exclusive documentary on behalf of the sisters. And for people that weren't listening last weekend, we were actually recording the show while I was remote in Gower, Missouri. The footage and the content that I've been very blessed to record is just unbelievable.
Royce, did you get any feedback from the show?
Yeah, we've actually, interestingly enough, for those listening, so this program airs on Saturdays and Sundays at Catholic Spirit Radio, as well as across the world and various streaming platforms. But Catholic Spirit, I guess they're getting good feedback. They just went from 2 days a week to putting us on 3 times a week now, which is fantastic. So we've just got an additional time slot, I think, on Sundays. I'll confirm that. But starting this weekend. So
somebody must like us.
Yeah, I don't know who it is. Father, you've got lots of fans. It's probably one of those people writing in. That would be my guess.
Oh yeah, you think so, huh?
Yeah, I mean you're the brains behind the operation. I just kind of
sometimes you gotta make them an offer they can't refuse.
Exactly. That's what we're dealing with here. We're between Father and I, we have to be careful too. We were just talking about an event we're gonna do next year in March of 2024, and it's an election year. And I got to start warning Father now. Listen, Father, just be careful. You're going to get yourself in trouble.
Now, would that be the first time?
It wouldn't be the first time.
It wouldn't be the first time.
It's usually the other way around. I feel like the priest is trying to get the other people out of trouble. In this case, it's me.
Trying to get me out of trouble.
The Father, especially when he's drinking coffee, folks, he just gets very rambunctious. And you never know what he's going to say.
Robin Hood, I got a question for you. and maybe, you know, so we get some feedback on this too. You know, I was just imitating The Godfather, and all if you can't refuse, right?
Yeah.
Did you see that Al Pacino, who played in The Godfather, that he is fathering a baby at 83 years old?
This is like a thing now, because Robert De Niro apparently did that recently too. And so Al's trying to follow suit. The only thing I saw about it, Father, was that he demanded a DNA test.
But they had pictures of him with a girlfriend that's living with him. She's in her early 20s. All right, so this is what I want to ask you.
Yeah.
You think this is right?
Well, I mean, I'm guessing she's got, you know, I'm not trying to be judgy or anything, but there's probably some dollar signs, you know, flashing in her eyes. But no, absolutely, it's not right. And it's just, but look, it's just the times, all right? Cohabitation. And we had Hope Miller on here a few weeks ago talking about that, you know, waiting till marriage and, you know, the modesty and everything else and purity. That's all out the window.
Yeah, gone.
It's gone.
Our society has gone. You know, it goes to something very practical. What about the baby? I mean, he's not going to live much longer, you know, have a little kid, you know, that's, I mean, a little kid, how's he going to grow up? No father. The mother collecting money from patrimony, I suppose. The immorality goes very, very deep here. I mean, how could a 20-year-old girl be in love with this 83-year-old guy?
Yeah. Well, because his name's Al Pacino.
That's it, huh?
Yeah, I think that's it. I think
that's... I have a chance if I use my name? I mean, this is crazy.
That's what we're dealing with, right? We're dealing with a brokenness in our culture. And it's, I mean, look, and I mean, and let's not forget, you know, we don't need to get into it now, but I mean, June, right? June has been hijacked by the left for nefarious purposes. And it's, we know this is Sacred Heart Month for the church.
I like that term, nefarious. That's just what it is. It was the month of the Sacred Heart, the purity, the beauty, the mercy of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And now it's Pride Month. And even some churches are getting involved with Pride Month, with Pride Masses, universities. We are a university that accepts all people, LGBTQ, even Notre Dame. What is going on here?
Yeah. It's a gentleman that I follow on Facebook said it very simply and best, but pride always comes before the fall, right? And that's unfortunately what we're dealing with. I heard something else that was interesting. Father, you may have said this some time ago, and it's been in my head for a while, but the devil does not have the power to create anything new.
That's right.
Right? But he can take something good and turn it upside down.
That's right. Exactly.
And
only God can create.
That's
the
right.
The devil can pervert.
He distorts and perverts. Yeah. That's correct. And so it's
he
sad.
Distorts because, reality.
Absolutely. And that's what we're witnessing now. We're witnessing just so much of the world and good, a lot of good people. I know people that are really good people, but they've just swallowed this LGBTQ pill like it's a vitamin.
It's unbelievable that you have these big companies that are LGBTQ, but the Los Angeles Dodgers and people going to go to a bowl game that is going to mock Catholicism, that's going to mock religious women. What is in their heads? If they did this to the Jews or to Islam, there would be an uprising.
Yeah.
But we just roll over. You know, if I were the Bishop of Los Angeles, I would say to the Catholic people, do not go under the penalty of sin. That's what I would do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Scandal.
Well, imagine the children that go to the baseball game with their dad, you know, let's go get a hot dog and a soda. And then there you go. There's a guy, you know, pole dancing on the crucifix with a mom. It's
disgusting.
You know what else is interesting? Luggage thief, Sam Brinton, who was once the Biden administration's official for, I don't know, something nuclear weapons or nuclear waste. Who knows? It's pretty terrifying, whatever it is. Anytime you have the word, you know, trans and then nuclear, it's, I don't know, who knows? But anyway, this guy apparently participated. And he's a member of this Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence or whatever they're called. Luckily, he's no longer in the administration because he was caught stealing very expensive luggage, not one, but several occasions. But anyway, yeah, it's sad. So look, what can people do to armor up against this stuff? First of all, go to confession, right? That's a great time. This is the first, we're recording this on the first Friday of the month, but take a look at the Sacred Heart. I actually have a study guide and a devotional that people can download for free. It has an imprimatur from a Diocese of Peoria, and it's Sacred Heart is the Boat is what it's called. And it's just a very short study guide all on creating a devotion to the Sacred Heart. And people can download that for free at sacredheart.info. And then call up Father O if you have questions. Anytime. I'm going to post his cell phone number. Yeah. All right. Listen, Sierra texted and she was with Matt Kirk or somebody important. I don't know.
More important than us?
I guess she's with somebody. I know
that. Get rid of her. Get rid of her.
Exactly. So we'll see if she's able to come in. And then she said she had food poisoning. You got to watch out for the food in North Dakota, folks. I know it's beautiful, but you just
what is it, elk?
It could be.
It's elk.
Funny story, Father. So I was living at the Abbey at Ephesus in a guest house this last week, as you know, assimilating to the community for this documentary I'm working on. And it struck me, one of the priests every night would have a small glass of whiskey. And that was sort of like his nightcap. And he invited me to join him one night. It was a lot of fun. I'm really not a whiskey drinker. But anyway, and then, so you're having a glass of whiskey, and then another priest said, hey, I'm offering a mass at 5:30 in the morning. And, you know, by the time we're done talking, it's midnight. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, these guys don't mess around. I thought about you. Many, many years ago, for our listeners, Father Michael Orsi and I were at the March for Life. This is a true story. And it was, we've been a couple years in a row. I mean, Father's been going for a long time, right? But it was freezing. It was just terrible. And Father, we were stuck in the middle of a crowd of 200,000 people. And I think our socks were probably wet because it was muddy and just icky. And Father just tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, Robin, let's go get a scotch and a steak.
That was the best scotch and steak I ever had. And so, the company was perfect. Now, when you come down here,
yeah,
I have a number of different kinds of scotch for you to choose from.
Okay.
And yet, we might even, you know, if I'm in a really good mood, if my sciatica, you better pray for the sciatica. If it goes away, we go to Shula's Steakhouse.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking.
Yeah.
There's a Shula's. I think there's a Shula's in Chicago. I could be wrong.
I think there is a number of locations with Shula, but the steaks are fantastic.
Yeah, no, I that sounds great to me. We're going to do it. We're going to make this happen sooner than later. So look, folks, without further ado, again, you're listening to Truth Culture Life. Father Michael Orsi and I are just talking about all kinds of stuff. This is what we do. We have a good time and we chat.
They're interested in what we're saying. I mean, those Dodgers, Walter O'Malley is rolling over in his grave. It's disgusting. I'm glad they moved out of Brooklyn. I don't want them in Brooklyn.
Yeah. You know, the people in Brooklyn might have chased him out, you know, at some point. I mean, I don't know about now, but yeah, it's just really unbelievable to see this in Major League Sports. And look, Target.
Terrible.
Their stock is down something like 20%, but Anheuser-Busch or whoever owns that, InBev,
hey, what's going on, over
20%.
What's going on with Chick-fil-A?
Apparently, Chick-fil-A, for so long, sort of a bastion of hope in the big corporate world, is now offering diversity, inclusion, education for their team members. Yeah, I saw
diversity, inclusion, and whatever else they call it, DEI.
It's communism is what it is.
Into selling chicken and hamburgers. I mean, whatever they do. I never even had one. I don't want one.
Chick-fil-A is okay. I mean, I'm not a huge, I don't need to eat it. But yeah, I mean, honestly, it's the woke culture. The problem is with these corporations is they have these hiring metrics. And it used to be, you know, you hire from the Ivy League schools, you're going to get an Ivy League product. Well, nowadays, if you're hiring from the Ivy League schools, folks, you got to be really, really careful. I mean, the woman that was behind the Bud Light thing came out. She's like, you know, some Harvard, you know, thinks she's just brilliant. And she's talking, you know, it's my job to change the culture here. Well, she's out of the job now. And they can't give the beer away.
Good. Good. You know, there's diversity, inclusion, and equity. It's even taking root in medical schools and in law schools. Look, you know, I used to say, gee whiz, if the law schools ever go this way, you know, I don't want that guy to be my lawyer. All right?
Yeah.
Then I said, however, The medical schools will never go that way because they have my life in their hands. Well, guess what? They've gone that way. They're taking students by their DEI score.
Yeah. Well, and then what about, I was just with the president of Benedictine College, Stephen, his name will come to me, but they're actually going to be creating a pro-life medical school at Benedictine College in Kansas. It'll be the first one. It'll be a school that is loyal to the magisterium of social teachings of the church. And hopefully they can maintain that.
So boy, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic, because we need it. Could you imagine you could get somebody who's not qualified really to be a doctor?
Yeah.
And just because they have DEI, they become a doctor.
Well, let me ask this question, folks. If you're a doctor, you're about to get brain surgery or heart surgery, and your doctor walks in and he genuinely believes that a boy can have a baby, you really want him operating on you. I question his judgment. I'd rather have Father Orsi, you know, go at it with his knife.
You'd have a better chance. At least I would know what not to do.
Hey, just close your eyes and pray for the best. I don't know. This is the world we're in. Let's do this. We're having a lot of fun here. Truth Culture Life. We're going to take a quick commercial break and try to get our guest back on. I just saw him come in and then he jumped out. So hopefully we'll be able to get him back on.
Maybe he heard the conversation.
Yeah, he said it's too much for us. We're going to go. All right, hang tight. We'll be right back after this break.
Hi, this is Kathy
and Anne
from Catholic Spirit Radio. We are looking for folks who would love to volunteer with us during our fundraisers and various other station events and tasks throughout the year.
We really need volunteers in the DeKalb, Sycamore, Morris, Joliet, and Lincoln areas, as well as Bloomington Normal.
If you have a few extra hours or more a month, put them to use for the Lord.
We would love to add your name to our Catholic Spirit Radio volunteer list. Contact us at office@catholicspiritradio.org.
Am I pregnant? This is often the first question a woman needs answered when she comes to the Pregnancy Resource Center. What now? Is the second question. Living Alternatives Pregnancy Resource Center is committed to providing excellent care, compassionate support, and honest information to those facing pregnancy decisions through authentic relationships that display grace, honor life, and foster community. Living Alternatives needs your help to encourage and support women in Bloomington Normal. Make your donation or find out more ways to get involved at pregnancyresourcecenter.org.
Help seniors remain independent. Faith in Action is a nonprofit providing transportation for people over 60 to medical appointments and grocery stores. Become a Faith in Action driver in the extended Bloomington Normal area, 309-827-7780.
Then there's a prayer that comes from fear. A lot of people are converted with this kind of prayer. You know the old saying, there's no atheists in foxholes. Well, I hope that's true. It's amazing that sometimes the greatest conversions happen when somebody is so afraid, they suddenly reach out to God. Maybe their whole life they never reached out to God, and suddenly they cry, Lord, help me. Okay? Conversion.
Has Catholic Spirit Radio touched you? Maybe it has brought you closer to God or even into the church. Tell us your story. Call or text our listener comment line. If you like, you can remain anonymous. 773-541-4159.
Welcome back to Truth Culture Life. I am Royce Hood, and we are joined again by Father Michael Orsi. Now, we had a guest trying to come in, Gil Bailey, who's an author and president and founder of the Cornerstone Forum, and he's got a new book coming out. And so we'll try to get him on if we can. He had some technology issues, so wasn't able to connect. So hopefully we'll be able to hear from Gil soon. And at any event, you can check him out on Amazon. Let's see, he's got a couple of books. He's got God's Gamble, which is out on Amazon. So I'd encourage people to check that out. And I'll post a link online as well. So if we're able to get him, we'll bring him in. Otherwise, Father, so Let's talk about this. What are the big things going on? You've got a new show. We've told our listeners about this a couple of times.
Yeah.
But you've got Action for Life TV, and now you've got your Conversations with Father Orsi. Tell us a little bit about the new show.
It's very interesting because although I've been on cable news and once in a rare while on some kind of network news, rare, because I'm not, you know, PC enough for network news. Some very generous person said that they would sponsor a weekly program, 1.5 hour. And the program is on analog TV. So it's on Wink TV down here in Southwest Florida. And then it's on a station up in Syracuse, New York, where the donor comes from. So it's a 1.5 hour show. And it's called Conversations. And I'm on the program with a co-host. And you know his name. What's his name? DC.
See, you know how I remember his name is when I used to have headaches as a kid, my grandmother would give me this terrible tasting stuff called BC powder. you should try that for your leg. Would that help your leg?
If you can get it for me, I'll try anything.
I can't sell it anymore. Yeah, and you probably don't want this stuff in my grandmother's cupboard. It's 100 years old.
Probably worked.
So well,
BC acts as an interlocutor with me and presents questions about the scripture reading, the gospel, for the Sunday that the show airs. So it airs on Sundays at usually 11:30 or noon, according to where you are, whether you are in Southwest Florida, or if you are in Syracuse, New York. So far, so good. I don't know. Did you get to see any of them? I think BC put
I saw the first, I think, one or two episodes that he sent me, and I'm going to try to help just push it a little bit through my networks because I think it's great. I think it's one of these shows that, you're going to get a lot of theological information, and the homilies are fantastic as well to the extent you're sharing those.
You know, the interesting thing about this is there's some wonderful religious broadcasting stations, both radio and TV. But when people tune into them, they're getting something that they expect to get, religious broadcasting. It's kind of a certain niche, as they say, a niche audience. But we are on regular television.
Father, what is the plan for Conversations with Father Orsi, the new show that you're working on?
Well, I guess the plan is to grow the audience. We hope that it'll spread here in Southwest Florida. And certainly if it's in Rochester, I don't know what kind of market there is in Rochester. It's a fairly big size city in New York State, nothing compared to New York City. But, you know, Rochester, Buffalo, Syracuse, that area, we're hoping it catches on. And maybe we'll be able to get some sponsors that want to put it on in other cities or locations around the country. But I think it'll be a very informative program. It's not, how can I say it? It's not something that lends itself to poetry. It's rather academic, insofar as a breaking down of the scriptures, what do the scriptures mean? Then how to apply the scriptures, and then what do these scriptures say to our contemporary culture? How do you apply the scriptures to the culture in which we live? And I think when we get to the technical term is exegesis, you break down according to what you find in the text and then say, what does the church teach about this,
right. And
how do we apply this?
Oh, that sounds awesome. I think you should try to, that's the kind of program that, particularly with streaming, you're going to reach a lot of people anyway, but people need to know about this. And look, just this last week, I witnessed firsthand how the story of Sister Wilhelmina went from a few people sharing it to it just going absolutely viral. And how did that happen, folks? It happened because people cared. And they shared it with a friend. And so let's do that with Father O. You can watch his programming at youtube.com/Action for Life Florida. And if you're not sure about that, just look for Action for Life Florida and subscribe to his channel. All of the programs, including Action for Life TV, some of his homilies, and then also his new show, Conversations with Father Orsi, are on his YouTube channel. And you can actually click a link and just share it. You can text it. You can put it in your Facebook. You can email it. And if everybody listening takes a moment and shares his program, we'll share. We'll be able to, you know, really evangelize. And that's the purpose of this, right? I mean, at the end of the day, Father Orsi, I like to tease him a lot and whatnot, but he's a shepherd, right? And we're his goal. I know he's said this before. I mean, he's going to have to account one day.
That's the thing, you know. There's like a sword hanging over my head. You got to account for your ministry. What did you do to bring the good word to other people? That's the job of every priest, but it's the job of every Christian too. But we have a responsibility. And I feel very, very, first of all, humble that God gave me the responsibility. And I want to go before God and I want to say, look, God, I messed up a lot. There's a lot of stuff I shouldn't have said or I shouldn't have done, but I did the best I could.
Yeah. Well, and that's right. And you're living it and you're leading by example with the things that you're putting out and giving people things to think about. And look, you already have great views on YouTube, a great number of subscribers. So folks, I just encourage you to check it out. For those listening, go to youtube.com and look for Action for Life. And also, I think I've got Action for Life on my YouTube channel saved. It's like in one of my playlists. So if you go to youtube.com/@Royce Hood, there's links on there as well that go back to Father O.
You know what, Robin Hood, I'll tell you something. Robin Hood, it's not easy to be a disciple, priest or lay person or religious. It's not easy. We talked a little while ago about what the Dodgers are allowing to happen at Dodger Stadium. A few players came out and said it was wrong. One of the players was from the Washington, what are they now? Nationals.
Nationals, yep.
And one of their pitchers, Kenshaw, a great pitcher, Clay Kenshaw, he said it was wrong. But you know what it takes? This is what it takes to really be a Christian. It takes the willingness to be a martyr.
Yeah.
And what they have to say is, I'm not playing, and I'm a Christian. I'm not playing in today's game. That's what they need.
Yeah.
Sandy Koufax, you don't remember Sandy Koufax. He was a Dodger. He started his career off with the Brooklyn Dodgers, then went over to L.A. when they moved. The World Series came, was in 1957. World Series comes along. It falls on, he was the opening day pitcher. It falls on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year for the Jewish people. He refused to pitch. And the owners of the team, they were Irish Catholics, O'Malley's. They said, okay. And they put Don Drysdale in his place. And then Sandy pitched the next day and won the game.
Yeah.
You see, these players, they got to speak up for their faith. You know, what are they?
No. Look, if the players that were Christian and even the non, if there are people out there that maybe aren't Christian, but that can still show respect.
Right.
Right. And I would expect this from anybody. If you're a gentleman, and whether you're Christian or not, you should be able to show respect. And obviously, the display at that Dodgers game was perverted. It was disgusting. And it's nefarious, right? That movie, I'm borrowing that movie's name because it's such a great word. And it's a word that it's like, wow, you can apply that to so much.
Yeah.
Respect. Where's the respect? Yeah. There's no respect anymore.
You know what, Robert? If you recall, about a year or two ago, there was a shooting in a synagogue in Pittsburgh, okay? Anti-Semitic attack. And I thought it was just so reprehensible. It was despicable. On Sunday morning, I got up and I spoke about the evils of anti-Semitism. Now, I got a standing ovation for that. People know the truth when they hear it. That afternoon, we had a meeting at the synagogue. And it was the Jewish Christian dialogue. And the topic was supposed to be, and it turned out to be, on a man who had survived the Holocaust. Very interesting. Anyway, word had spread to the synagogue about what I did in the morning. And I can't tell you how many of the Jewish people came over to me and thanked me for what I said. This is not just something for Catholics to, you know, revolt against. But it's for every person of goodwill, not just Jewish, not just Muslim, every person of goodwill. I don't want anybody to go over there and, you know, make a picture of Mohammed and insult Mohammed. I don't want that.
Yeah. No, and that's it comes down to that. It's interesting. The left so often claims that they're the, you know, the culture of tolerance, but in fact, they're not. Right. The conservatives, the people that have faith, that have values and virtue are frankly more tolerant because we're, you know, that's how we are. We're respectful. That word respect really rings true. I just, you know, I keep going back to the events of the last week, Father, where I saw people coming from around the country to Gower, Missouri, from all, it wasn't just Catholics, which was really interesting. There was people of all different denominations coming out to see this nun, the sister, Wilhelmina. And I was moved by that. And it made me think about, you know, some of these displays that we're seeing. I think, look, when corporations or sporting organizations or any groups pull these kind of shenanigans, it's really, really simple. You stand up and you leave. You don't go to the concessions. Right. You don't buy the tickets. You don't go to the gift shop. You get up and you leave. You forfeit your ticket, or better yet, request a refund.
Right.
Well, it's advertising. Baseball is supposed to be a family-friendly event. I bring my kids to see a baseball game and they pull that kind of garbage. I want my money back. And being an attorney, I might even file a lawsuit for, what is it, the IIED, your father, remember those from the law school days? Intentional emotional distress.
Right. Yeah, right.
Come on. Yeah. I don't want my children to see that. I should not be subjected. My children should not be subjected to those kind of things at a sporting event.
It's just despicable. However, let me say this. I think that this discovery, if you will, of Mother Wilhelmina's remains, I think that this is somewhat miraculous insofar as it's saying something different to society that needs to be said, talking about the goodness of God, about God's presence in the world, and how he uses us, even in death, to make himself known as to who he is, a God of love, a God of mercy, a God who wants to save us. So maybe this is going to interject some light into the darkness that is now surrounding us, because I think we're practically over the cliff. This LGBTQ, the Dodgers, the Sisters of, I mean, you know what their motto is? Their motto is go in peace and sin some more. Go yeah. in peace and sin some more. What are you telling society? What are you telling us?
Yeah, well, they're giving people a one-way ticket straight to hell is what they're doing.
Yeah, sure. And you tell anybody go and sin some more. You know what that means? It means anything from, you know, stealing an M&M to killing somebody.
Yeah, no, it's anybody that stands for nothing falls for anything. And I recall back in the 90s when people started talking about slippery slopes. Right. And there's like, oh, there's no such thing as a slippery slope. Folks were there. It's like a cliff. We're falling right off the side. But Father, you're right. You're right. I saw things over the last week that people will never witness or see. And I was behind the scenes. I was able to observe from an angle and from a perspective that other people just weren't. I had access to things that other people just didn't. I saw faithful Catholics coming and venerating Sister Wilhelmina. I saw fallen away Catholics stepping foot into a holy place, into a church for the first time in 30 years and crying because they were home, right? I saw Protestants coming and asking questions about who is this sister? Who's our sister is how they referred to her. A wonderful black couple from St. Louis came, and they're not Catholic at all, but they were curious about this black sister that they heard about, and they wanted to see her, and they did, and they were asking questions, and they walked into the church when the sisters were doing their evening prayers, which they sing. And they came out and they said, that was the most beautiful church service I've ever been to. It wasn't actually a church service. I didn't tell them that, but right. I mean, that there's evangelization happening. I also saw some people that were very clearly gone, like on the other side. And some of them even appeared to be humbled. And why were they there? They're there because they're searching for something. They're there.
What were they singing? What were they singing?
The sister
Latin, Gregorian chant.
Every single thing they sing is Well, I shouldn't say everything. Most of what they sing is Latin. Yeah, this was Vespers. The instance, they do Vespers at 6 o'clock. And, you know, I don't know off the top of my head what goes into Vespers, but they're, I mean, it's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, I'll tell you what goes into it. It takes place in the early evening, okay, 5-6 o'clock. And it contains psalms, song, scripture reading, and intercessions. And every priest and every religious is bound to say Vespers, morning prayer, daytime prayer, Vespers, and then night prayer. Night prayer is very short, but Vespers are extremely, extremely beautiful. And, you know, a lot of people have lost that sense of sacred time. And that's from the Liturgy of the Hours, we call it, or the Divine Office. And what it does is it sanctifies time, morning, noon, night. And for anyone to hear it, they have to be, it just draws you right into it. And, you know, when the church kind of, you know, said, well, you know, we don't have to sing it anymore. We don't have to use the Latin anymore. They lost something. Something was lost in that.
Yeah. You could feel that. There was something very special about even the Mass in Latin and the Vespers and all the, they would gather at different times, Divine Mercy Hour, they would gather. They did a rosary at one point, and then they have their 8 o'clock prayers as well. And forgive me off the top of my head, there's experiences I had never experienced before, but it was so beautiful and so profound and really peaceful. There's something about it. Walking in, you can't help but to be consumed by this responsibility of reverence. And I mean that intentionally. Like, you feel like you have to be respectful of what's going on around you. The women are wearing veils. They're dressed modestly. The men, for the most part, have, you know, they're covering their shoulders and their arms, and they're walking in respectfully. Everybody's kneeling when they're supposed to kneel. Nobody's waving their hands around like they're at a football game or a rock concert, right? People are really focused on this contemplative silence and prayer. There's something about it that's like, I don't want to use the word magical. Well, that's what it is. It really draws you in, and it's hard to walk out of there not feeling like you know, you just experienced something really, truly amazing.
Did you get this on film? And will we be able to see at least a little piece of it when the documentary comes out?
So right now on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Royce Hood, I actually have a 30-second clip of the sisters singing right as they placed Sister Wilhelmina into her final resting place behind the glass altar that was built for her. And it's a very short clip. I had three cameras rolling. I ended up having some help from a group called Sistine Films, came out on Monday and helped with a couple extra cameras. We have probably 1,000 hours worth of footage from the week that I was there that I'm going through, and we're editing when the time is right. And I promised the sisters they would get what's called final cut on the documentary, so they get to see it before we release it and be a part of the planning and so forth. But I will be releasing some clips to share elements from the Mass, from Vespers, and from the evening prayers that the sisters do, because it's just so gorgeous.
Yeah. You know, I'm excited. I know that you're going to give us a fantastic production. I guarantee you it'll be shown here in Southwest Florida. I'll make sure of that. And, you know, I'm hoping that even the television station that Conversations is on, we could get it on there too.
That'd be great. Yeah.
And Syracuse. I mean, by this time when you're done with this, we'll be all over the country.
You're going national, Father. Come on. You're going to be in. Yeah.
We're big. Oh, we're big. We're bigger than U.S. Steel.
Well, that's it. I mean, listen, you heard it here. Truth Culture Life. Father Orsi is, I don't know when this man ever sleeps, because between his priestly responsibilities as well as being a big shot TV producer, right?
Suffering from sciatica.
And he's got sciatica.
Mother Wilhelmina, please, it hurts.
we're gonna, you know, honestly, see if What about one of those like salt baths? Doesn't that do something?
It doesn't do anything. I'm afraid I have to get a I don't want to get an operation. I'm scared of that.
Why don't you get your leg cut off? That'll solve the problem.
Well, that could do it too. That'll bother me again.
Right? No, I think we're going to ask for Sister Wilhelmina's intercession. For everybody listening, look, I've had lower back pain and it's shot into my sciatic nerve. It's just debilitating. It's hard to function when you're in constant pain, as I'm sure some of our listeners know. So we'll keep everybody in our prayers at suffering
and
from that.
Get the kids involved. Have the kids kneel down and pray for old Father O.
You know, with the innocence, there's something about that.
Before you go, I want to ask you a question. I little Maximilian's crawling around with this dog that's he's as big as a buffalo.
Yeah.
How much does that dog weigh?
That dog is over 100 pounds. His name is Bear. He's a big English chocolate lab. Now, look, I didn't know this for our listeners. There's two types of chocolate labs. There's American. They're skinnier and a little bit more hyper. And then there's English. They're just like big loafs, honestly. And this dog is huge. And he's protective, but he's so gentle with these kids.
It's beautiful. I picture with Max and him. Beautiful.
He loves Max. He follows Max around. And if we're changing Max's diaper, he comes and lays down next to Max and, Max climbs all over him, pulls his ears, and Bear just lays there, just wags his tail.
That's great. That's great. Love it.
Yeah. So, no, listen, Father, this is great. Thank you for.
My pleasure.
You're listening to Truth, Culture, Life. I am Royce Hood. Thank you so much for tuning in to Catholic Spirit Radio. Please be sure to download their app at CatholicSpiritRadio.com.
Hi, this is Kathy
and Anne
from Catholic Spirit Radio. We are looking for folks who would love to volunteer with us during our fundraisers and various other station events and tasks throughout the year.
We really need volunteers in the DeKalb, Sycamore, Morris, Joliet, and Lincoln areas, as well as Bloomington Normal.
If you have a few extra hours or more a month, put them to use for the Lord.
We would love to add your name to our Catholic Spirit Radio volunteer list. Contact us at office@CatholicSpiritRadio.org.
Am I pregnant? This is often the first question a woman needs answered when she comes to the Pregnancy Resource Center. What now is the second question. Living Alternatives Pregnancy Resource Center is committed to providing excellent care, compassionate support, and honest information to those facing pregnancy decisions through authentic relationships that display grace, honor life, and foster community. Living Alternatives needs your help to encourage and support women in Bloomington Normal. Make your donation or find out more ways to get involved at PregnancyResourceCenter.org.
Help seniors remain independent. Faith in Action is a nonprofit providing transportation for people over 60 to medical appointments and grocery stores. Become a Faith in Action driver in the extended Bloomington Normal area, 309-827-7780.
Then there's a prayer that comes from fear. A lot of people are converted with this kind of prayer. You know that old saying, there's no atheists in foxholes. Well, I hope that's true. It's amazing that sometimes the greatest conversions happen when somebody is so afraid, they suddenly reach out to God. Maybe their whole life they never reached out to God, and suddenly they cry, Lord, help me. Okay? Conversion.
Has Catholic Spirit Radio touched you? Maybe it has brought you closer to God or even into the church. Tell us your story. Call or text our listener comment line. If you like, you can remain anonymous. 773-541-4159.
Welcome to Truth, Culture, Life. I'm Royce Hood. And wow, this last week has just been the Holy Spirit action plan on fire. I mean, it's hard to express all that has happened to me and really just in the world the last week or so, starting with the discovery of Sister Wilhelmina's body, which I've talked about last weekend. The story quickly went viral. And we're talking about Sister Wilhelmina Lancaster from the Abbey of Our Lady of Ephesus in Gower, Missouri. And Sister Wilhelmina was the founder of the Benedictines of Mary, Queen of the Apostles. Just a wonderful contemplative order of sisters whose job it is to pray for priests. And they are a community that is semi-cloistered, that really just focuses on their prayer, on silence, on their vocation, being poor brides to Jesus. I think I mentioned this last week, but one of the statements of one of the sisters that has really stuck with me over the last week or so occurred when one of the sisters there, with tens of thousands of pilgrims, I mean, thousands of people coming through every single day of their little gate, their community, to see the body of Sister Wilhelmina. And it was thought that, hey, these people are just standing outside. We're inside singing. Is there a way for them to hear our prayers, to hear us singing? And so we rigged up a little PA system, and they didn't have enough cords. Didn't really. Benedictine College was kind enough to give us a wireless mic and some PAs that the sisters could use. But we ended up miking a stereo at one point to play Advent at Ephesus, which is one of the albums that the sisters produced a number of years ago. And so that was able to feed music to the outside, so people would have pretty music and hear, be able to hear the sisters' prayers and their singing. Anyway, so in conversation, you know, she said, "Oh, do people even know, you know this music?" I was like, "Sister, you know, you guys are kind of famous with this music. It was in the top 10 for over a year in the Billboard charts when their album came out." And she said, "I don't know anything about that. I'm just a simple sister." And I talked about this last week briefly, but I love that. I'm just a simple sister. And I realized at that moment, that's really how they are. They're not interested in glitz and glam. They're not interested in what the world thinks and what the world is doing. What they're focused on is their eternal souls. What they're focused on is the prayers and the vocations and their work and their labor. And their way of life is just so beautiful. It's addicting. I want it. I want that way of life. That when I was out there, it was amazing. I had zero internet, no TV in the little quarters that they graced me with. My phone hardly ever worked. I was basically cut off from the world. When you're in there, when you're out at the Abbey, you just cut off, and it's great. You can, aside the fact that there was thousands of people hustling and bustling by, and I have to say, the people that came were very peaceful and very prayerful and respectful. And so it was a great group of people to be with, but just, it was so surreal. Like you have no idea what's going on in the rest of the world. And in the background, you've got this beautiful things like Vespers and prayers being sung and chanted. And you've got all these faithful people coming and praying. There was a few moments where I got at some point, I was with them for over a week and, you know, living on the grounds in a guest quarter, all at a guest house away from the Abbey, but it was just amazing being in the compound. There was a few moments where I had to pinch myself because it just was so surreal. I questioned, and it sounds funny to say this, but a few moments, I honestly, I was tired. I was like, you know what? Did I die? Am I in heaven right now? I honestly thought that for a couple seconds because it's like, it just is so surreal. All the grace and the reverence, the ancient feeling. I felt like I was part of something ancient. Attending the Latin Mass. I'm not trying to knock Vatican II or the new Mass, but there's something about it. It's hard to ignore. When I witnessed people that aren't Catholic walking in and the sisters were doing their Vespers and they saw other people kneel, so they kneeled. And I was able to speak with them after, and they said, "This is the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. What is it? Tell us more. We want more. Where can we find this? Where can we experience this in our own communities?" Just simple sisters doing what they do. And the other thing that was really cool about my experience was observing people's emotion and faces. And I had multiple cameras set up behind the scenes. The sisters gave me access to areas that are typically off limits to cameras and to people. And so I was able to have a vantage point and capture just some beautiful things. And one of the very wonderful moments was during the Mass or during the prayers where the sisters are singing their psalms or singing their different prayers, was looking at the faces of the sisters. And for the most part, they had this smile, this joy, this expression. These women have given themselves completely to their vocation and dedicated their lives to their vocation. And they're so happy about it and they're joyful. And so looking at their faces, I was able to capture this on film and you can see it and they're just smiling. And it's so beautiful. other thing that was amazing was witnessing the emotion and the expressions on people coming through to see Sister Wilhelmina. And I saw a lot of tears, so many tears, and not tears of sadness, but tears of joy, tears of hope. The Lord promises eternal life, right? And the resurrection. And there are people that think, you know, we're in there. And one woman had come from California and said, like, where are we really needed this. We're struggling in our family and we have faith, but we needed something. And this something was Sister Wilhelmina. It's just given us a little boost that we needed to focus on our faith more and to develop our relationship with the Lord even more. And so I think I'm really excited. I'm going to apologize now because I'm so excited about this story that I'll probably be talking about it for the weeks and months ahead, particularly as I develop the documentary. So stay tuned. There's going to be more, but I've created a landing page. I don't know what the title of the film is going to be just yet. The sisters get some say, but for now I'm using the title Incorruptible Movie. And if you go to incorruptiblemovie.com, there's a landing page and you can sign up to be updated on updates for the film. And we are in production. We started production over a week ago. We're going to be doing interviews. We're going to be tracing back on Sister Wilhelmina's life and telling her story. That's what this is about. It's about her story. It's about her vocation. It's about her legacy. And it's about the things that she cared about, because those things obviously were so important to the formation of this order and of this abbey. And we have to tell that story. So go to incorruptiblemovie.com and you can sign up with your name and email address. And you're not going to get a ton of spam or anything. This is going into a folder. And as I update the movie, I will send out email updates here and there. You can also go to YouTube/@Royce Hood and look for me on there. Subscribe to my channel and I will be posting some little clips that that I'm allowed to share from our footage before we're finished with the documentary. Also, please keep this project in your prayers. I am discerning right now. I've got some great people that are coming forward that want to be a part of this film. And I just want this to be a project that really could change the world. We can get this movie into theaters. We can get it on streaming. And so I need your prayerful intercessions just for wisdom and guidance. And I'm asking for the intercession of Fulton Sheen as well as Sister Wilhelmina. So thank you. Without further ado, you're listening to Truth Culture Life. And by the way, this program now airs 3 times a week on Catholic Spirit Radio. If you haven't done it already, be sure to download the Catholic Spirit Radio app at catholicspiritradio.com. And last but not least, I just want to thank you again for listening. This is the Sacred Heart Month. So I'm going to leave you with a song that I wrote. You've heard this before if you've been listening to this program on Catholic Spirit Radio, but it is Sacred Heart is the Boat. I'm going to leave you with this song. And if you want the study guide, there's a study guide on devotion to Sacred Heart. You can download it. You can share it with your friends. It's free. You can download that at sacredheart.info. I'll post a link on my website for that as well, which is roycehood.com. So a lot of links there. Just look me up online. Feel free to send me an email. And thank you so much for listening. I'm Royce Hood. You're listening to Truth, Culture, Life.
Your mouth will open, that you will know hope. Cause his love's like an endless ocean, a sacred heart is the boat. Difficult life may be, our Lord can walk on water. That you will know truth.